Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Does it feel later to y'all or earlier? You had to think about that, didn't you, Gary? Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning with the Lord as our help. We'll be in the 12th chapter. It's good to see you here today, Brother Tommy Russell. Good to see you and your bride. For those that don't know, is this the first time you've been here since you got married? If y'all would stand up, let's give this couple a round of applause right here. They're newlyweds, but they're newlyweds about, what, 8 or 9 months ago. I don't know, it's been a pretty good while, but I'm glad you've found your way back to Calvary. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Some of you have not been here in a while. It's good to see you back. But those of you that are here faithful and regular in attendance, thank you for your presence. I appreciate your prayers and your attendance. It's good to have Brother Chris back. He had a little trip down to the Honduras, and a man, we were worried about him in so many ways. We're afraid he'd get down there, and we already found out he went down there and he was in a wedding. That kind of scared us. That's a true story. He was in a wedding as soon as he got there, and then that kind of spooked us. And then some of us saw him on Facebook in a car that was barely bigger than he is. And he was in there, and we was wondering how they're going to get him out. And anyway, they let him go, and he's back. But he'll take just a minute at the end of the service. He's wanting to tell us how many souls were saved and kind of what took place on the trip just a minute. But this morning, I'm going to recap just a little bit. Wednesday night, I know you, many of you were not here, so you don't know what I preached on. But Wednesday night, I preached on, I used the open of where Caleb and Joshua had the courage and the faith to go and take the land. And then Caleb made a bold statement. He said, "You give me that mountain." And he wanted to claim what God had already shown him as his. And then I went over to the New Testament, and we preached on and had a question on our minds that whether or not you would rather have the strength to climb and the grace to climb, or you would rather just watch God move the mountain altogether. And I know most of us, we want the mountain removed. But in most cases, he gives us the grace and the strength for which to climb that mountain. And I know many of you, you've got a mountain in front of you. But I want you to know you can have a mountain moving kind of faith. And you've got a great big God that wants to help you. And I want you to be helped. But it seemed like today we're going to hit the repeat button. We're not going to be preaching on the mountain, but I am going to be preaching about something that's just about as popular as the mountain in front of you, and that's the thorn inside you. So as we are here in the book of 2 Corinthians today, we're talking about Paul and that thorn that God hath given him. But Wednesday night I preached on the mountain before us and the multitude that were believing that the mountain could be removed. This was all out of Matthew chapter 15, 29 through 31. The miracles that were before them, and then the mountain that was actually the glories that were found therein. Like I said, I won't pretend to know everybody's struggling here. I know some of you are having treatments. Some of you, I look across here and I know who's undergoing different problems and you have your own sets of circumstances. And I know some of you that are here today, you're in a mess. And I can't help that, but God can. I'm honest with you, God can. And I want you to know this, some of you are in a mess by your own device and your own choosing. You created that mess. How many of you ever heard that old bed? He made his bed, just let him sleep in it. Some of you are there because of your own poor choices, and I don't want you to stay there. If you want out of it, God will make a way out of it. But anyway, let's just stand and give reverence reading of God's Word today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I do appreciate you being here. I'd rather preach to people than pews any day of the week. I'm not a popular preacher. I'm just me, and I'll be me if y'all will be you. But when it comes to the end of the service, let God be God. If he moves on your heart, respond. I've never been one to beg you to come. I've never been one to come down to Brother Gwen and whisper in your ear, "This message is for you." That's up to the Holy Spirit to do his job, and he will do it. It's whether or not you want to receive it or not. You've heard the stories of the white-knuckled, you know, white pew, back pew holders. That's a true story. A lot of people leave here. They might not be gripping the pew, but I'm telling you what, the Lord has wrung them out, and they won't respond. That's up to you to get that. If you've ever responded as a matter of conviction and a matter of faith, aren't you glad that you did it?
Amen.
Honestly, I'm serious. That's an honest question. Aren't you glad that, Robbie, it was in Mom's house over there on the side of South Center Church where that God got a hold of you? You don't have to be in church, but you better be there when God's dealing with you. You need to be wherever he's dealing. And if it's in a house, it's in a house. If it's in a pew, it's in a pew. And I ask you today to just listen to the Lord as he's trying to help somebody today. I promise you that. The second book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Probably going to read about 13 verses and try to read it responsibly today. And we've got some listening again by way of multimedia. So Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley, we love you this morning. And we're praying for you, praying for Miss May, all those that are sick and having troubles. Verse number 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But God knoweth. How that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, for though I be nothing, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Brother John, would you ask God to bless our scripture reading today, my friend? Amen. We do realize this morning that Satan has no power except that it be given of God. Are we all of that same opinion? You say that's an opinion, yeah, but it's biblical. It's a biblical truth. Satan has no power over you. You can look no further than the book of Job and realize that God let Satan do to Job what Satan did to Job. Satan would come to Job and God would introduce Job unto Satan and said, have you considered him? And he said, I can't do nothing with Job because you've got your hand up on him. You're protecting him. You put a hedge about him. And we know that whole story. But this morning, I do want you to realize that even though Satan has no power except that it be given of God, I don't read in the scriptures where Jesus Christ walked down any corridor, any street, any cobblestone place that he walked and looked over at somebody and infected them or inflicted them with any kind of sores or boils or any kind of a leprosy or anything. I don't see my Savior doing that. You don't read that in your scriptures either. He didn't walk down the street and kill people. He rather raised up the dead. He found the bound and set them free. He took the sick and made them whole. He took the lame and made them walk. He took the blind and made them to see. He didn't go about inflicting people. But we do see in the scripture that many people were afflicted. And we do see in today's life that many people are having troubles today. And a lot of them are because of their own device and because of their own design. Now that wasn't what was going on in Paul's life. I'm just throwing that out there to let you know. And I want to take you in your mind or go flipping to the scriptures, to the book of Song of Solomon, just for a minute, and then we'll come right back to the book of Corinthians. I want you to see that sometimes our thorn, it may just be a thorn that is allowed by God Almighty to help us in our daily walk. And it might be that he's trying to keep us humble, as we'll see here concerning Paul. It may be something as a punishment unto us, and we've done that to ourselves. You don't go back and point your fingers at God and blame God when you go out here and you fill your body with some kind of infectious disease. We see people that smoke all their life, and I'm not preaching against smoking, but then they bewildering at God how that they could get lung cancer. And that's you don't blame God for that. You're the one that took that. There are people that get drunk and go out, and then they maim their bodies up in drunk driving accident. You can't blame God for you getting into a drunk driving accident. You took that upon yourself, and Satan had tempted you and tested you, and you gave in to that. Temptation is not sin, but when you yield to the temptation, it produces sin. And when sin, when it's completed, what does it bring forth? The Bible said it brings forth death. In the book of Song of Solomon, I want you to see that every one of you have the ability to walk among the lilies, and every one of you have the ability to see the bright and the morning star. Every one of you this morning have the right and the ability to see the rose of Sharon. The Bible says in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, and this is a beautiful allegory concerning Christ and his church. Whenever Solomon was wooing the Shunammite bride, he looks in here in verse number 1 of the second chapter of Song of Solomon. He said, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. And I want you to see the very next verse. He said, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sun. I sat down under his shadow, and with great delight, his fruit was sweet to my taste. I want to look at those two verses just for a minute. He said, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And then he said, the lily among the thorns. Maybe somebody this morning would be so bold as to acknowledge that I've got a thorn in the flesh this morning. And man, I've been questioning why this thing's upon me. I've been questioning what's going on. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Chris. I know you're going to come up here in a few minutes, and at the end of the service, you're going to tell the church about how many souls got saved. But you and any other preacher that doesn't work for God had better be careful, because it'd be very easy for this preacher to come back from down deep south Mississippi or Alabama, Blitz, or wherever you've been, and come up here and say, boy, God was all over me, and God helped me, and I did this and I did that. What you'll do, brother, is you're going to invite a thorn into your flesh, and God will send that thorn as quick as he'll send anything else, because it's not about Chris you made. It's not about Brother Larry Key. It's all about Jesus. And Paul said that this thing was given him, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him, to keep him on the lowdown. It'd be very easy, Brother Chris, to start thinking about, man, God's moving in my life. God's doing work in my life. I can look at this church, Brother Gwen, and I can look around this church full on a Sunday morning. It's full on Wednesday night. What a blessing it is. And I start getting a little exalted, saying, man, God's using me. God's using this church. And we can get exalted in ourselves. And when we start getting a little puffed up with pride and start getting a little bit egotistical about our services and everything, I want you to watch how fast God will send in the thorn to keep us where we ought to be. It'll happen. It'll happen. It'll happen. So today I want you to look, as we talked about the rose among the thorns and the lily among the thorns, as it was mentioned in the book of Song of Solomon. And what a beautiful story that is. And it is a love story. But I want you to think about your own love story and your own relationship to the love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's where we come into the love story. The only part that we had in this thing, Brother Derek, is committing the sin that sent him to a cross. That's the only part of the love story that we really had a part in. So as I look at this today, I want you to look at the onset of the thorn. I go back in here in verse number 7. It said, lest I should be exalted above measure, and through the abundance of the revelation there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Paul said that it would be very easy for me to get exalted in the flesh. It'd be very easy for man, from his perspective, to become prideful. But my goodness, folks, God has a way of keeping us humble. And brother, it tells us in the scripture for us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then in due time he would exalt us. But Paul said that God took care of that by giving him his own thorn in the flesh. And I want you to look at the onset of the thorn. This thorn brought pain into Paul's life. Many people have surmised or maybe tried to guess what the thorn was. I've read many, many commentation on this. And some said that whenever Paul saw that bright light at the noonday, Brother Derek, that he was like the brighter than the noonday sun when he was on the Damascus Road, that maybe he looked at the very bright light and he got cataracts, and therefore it hurt his eyesight. Listen, I don't know if Paul's eyesight was failing him. If it was, then so be it. It was from God. Or whether it was some other condition that he had, the Bible don't clearly tell us what the infirmity was, but he was pained in the flesh. And because he was pained in his flesh and he was so troubled in his body, I'm telling you what, when you get a little pain or inferior, something going on in your body, you start to feel that. And I can't remember except the times I tried to preach through kidney stones or tried to preach without the wind to really get the message out whenever I was dealing with those heart troubles back a couple years ago. And I'm telling you, my body was giving out, brother, it seemed like. And the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And I don't question God what God's doing, but I'll tell you this. If I had a hand in it, and then so be it. God had to give it. And basically, I kept on in it, and I want you to do the same thing. God's not going to remove your mountain. He'll give you the strength to climb it. He's not always going to remove the thorn, but he'll give you grace in it. And he said that grace would be sufficient. Anybody got a thorn this morning? Anybody brought to a point of physical pain this morning? Anybody this morning dealing with fleshly problems this morning? Financial problems this morning? Maybe you've got some wayward children this morning. Maybe you've got all kinds of problems this morning. And I'm just going to be honest with you. You might need to check your homework. You might need to check and see what's going on around you, because you could be the very one that's causing this thorn to come into your life. You say, did Paul cause that? Look what it says. Paul said, he starts out, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory. He said, I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ. But 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Out of the body, I cannot tell. But he said, but the Lord knoweth. He said, it would be very easy for me when I'm getting these revelations from God and God's doing a work in my life. It'd be very easy for me to get exalted and get lifted up, to become pious and holier than thou, and look down my nose on other people because maybe they didn't have the same divine revelation that I've got. God said, because of that, there was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. This thorn that he had, it brought his flesh trouble. It caused him to have to fight harder maybe than he would. It caused his faith to be tested maybe more than it should. Has your faith ever been tested? We're quiet this morning. And this is not a shout message. Brother Gwen, when you get a thorn in the flesh, you're not running around saying, woohoo! But that's exactly what he said. I'd rather glory in these things than to get high and lifted up in myself. He said, I'd rather glory in that stuff. And Brother John, it's not easy when you get a thorn. But I'm asking you this morning, have you got the thorn? And if you've got a thorn in your life, do you know the makeup? Do you know the wherewithal? Do you know where it came from? Do you know how it got there? Have you contributed to it? Paul said that all these things, he said of such one in verse number 5, I will glory yet not of myself, I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So I opened up with the onset of the thorn. I want you to see that. Go in your own life and say, have I caused this? Some of you ask me all the time, preacher, I don't understand this. You're full-blown living open in sin. I'm talking about living in sin openly before an almighty, thrice holy God, and then you wonder why you got troubles. I mean, that's not no-brainer to me, folks. You want to get that thing fixed, get in an altar somewhere and ask God to fix it, and I'm telling you, you'll find a little relief in your thorn. Find a little relief in your trouble. Go back, find the onset. Find out what the thorn's about. See if it's there by God or if it's there because you're the one that created that mess and God allowed it to come upon you. God did not send this boil, or he did not send this eyesight problem. He did not send this infliction in the flesh, except that Satan come to him after God allowed it to happen. Are we still all right this morning? I want you to see the reason or the objective of the thorn. They come with a purpose, my friends. I told you about the onset. Here it is. Now I got to deal with it. Brother, I didn't have this a month ago. I didn't have this thing a year ago. But all of a sudden, here it is. What happened between then and now? What happened? Did you give over to sin? Did you let sin creep in? Did something happen in the meantime that allowed you to now be buffeted by a messenger of Satan? I'm telling you, my friends, the onset is one thing, but there is an objective. There is a reason for the thorn in your flesh, and it is this. It's namely to bring you back to God. It's to get you closer to the one that can help you. And here we see Paul. Paul said, why am I got this? And he said that is the messenger of Satan to buffet me. It's to decrease Paul's pride. It's to get him back down and keep him where God can use him. A haughty spirit and a prideful heart, it goes before destruction. It goes before a fall. And if any preacher, any church, anybody starts to get elevated and lifted up, I'm telling you, Brother Tam, there's a reason that a thorn would come in. And the objective or the purpose of that is to keep that church usable and pliable to be meat for the master's use. There's a reason. There's a reason storms come. Yes, you said there's a disturbance in the atmosphere, the cold weather and the hot weather and the cold climate come together. Next thing you know, you got a storm. Is that not the truth in our life? You got the hot of the Holy Spirit of God. You got the cold of sin and the two calamity right in the middle of your life because you gave into the temptation of sin. Shacked up, moved in, drunk, drinking, drugs, alcohol, lascivious nature, sinful living, all this stuff. And you wondering why you got a thorn? You wondering why there's a problem? God will let that stuff happen to bring you to Him. It's an easy fix. How many times do you have to go to the altar to get saved, Robbie? One. You mean God did a work in one time? Ryan, how many trips did it take you down there? Did you get saved 50 times? How many times, preacher, did you go get saved? Only one time. Brother Tam, how many times do you have to get saved? Bless God, we got saved but one time. One time did it for every one of us that ever got saved. We got saved but one time. It was a one-time trip, one and done. It was not some 12-step process to maturity in Christ Jesus. It was a spiritual, revealing, a divine, holy God. As He moved on John's heart, John was drawn to an altar, and you got it fixed. There's a purpose for the thorn. Paul's was to decrease his pride and to increase his prayer life. Man, you start getting a thorn in the flesh. You start praying a little more than you used to. Look what it says. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh." Paul said, if I could glory, if anybody could glory. How many times did Paul have to say this in Scripture? If anybody should boast, Brother Derek, he said, it should be me of the stock of Benjamin. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. If anybody had any reason to boast or glory, he said, that would be me. He said, but I can't. And this, he gets a little bit exalted. He said, here, God, give me something. He gave him this thorn in the flesh, whatever this thorn was, as a messenger, a reminder to stay humble, to stay close to God, to let God do the work, to decrease his pride, increase his prayers. And look what it says at the latter part of that. It said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Folks, can I tell y'all some grand revelation today? Y'all could have a lot better pastor than what you've got. You could have a lot better pastor than what you've got. But you know what? I am what you've got. You said, then how are we going to get a better pastor? If you're the one we've got, and you're the one that God wants. When's the last time you prayed for your pastor? That'll make a better pastor. Boy, I wish we had a better pastor. When's the last time you prayed for the one you got? Amen? I got an amen over here I don't usually hear from. You want a better pastor, pray for the one you got. But it would be very easy, Brother Ryan, for me to look around and say, well, the church is about full again. We got everything going on. We good. Brother Will taught a great Sunday school class this morning. Everything's good. And man, we got just a few empty holes today and get all exalted and say, there's no need to invite anybody else, folks. We're about full. Y'all back off on your invitations. Don't be telling people about Jesus. Don't be witnessing to the lost people. Robbie, you quit running them buses because we got enough kids now. We got enough people over here. God help us to never get to that point. Paul said that this thing, the objective of the thorn in his life was to decrease his pride, to keep him humble. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. through the abundance of the revelation. God doing a work in me. And lest I get exalted or lifted up in my prideful self, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest that I should be exalted above measure. And then he goes into this. He said, for this thing I prayed. I besought the Lord three times or thrice that it might depart from me. Have you asked the Lord? Let me ask you this. Have you asked the Lord to remove your thorn? I'm honest. Let's get real right now. Can we just get real? Have you asked the Lord to remove the thorn? To move the problem? To help me out? Slide down just a minute. I'm going to sit right here. I'm sitting here. And here we are, Ryan. And me and you are living together in an unequally yoked fellowship. I'm not talking homosexual. I'm not going there. You could go there because it's happened. Hey, people been saved out of that mess right off the pews of every church in the county, I guess. But I'm not married to you. Let's go back here. Y'all are worried. Slide down a minute, honey. I'm not married to her. But I'm living with her. I love her. I'm carnal with her. I'm lustful with her. But all the while, I've got a problem going on in my life. I'm talking about I'm being wrung out. The Lord's holding me out over hell. Every time that I come around, something's going on in my life. And I'm just wanting this thing fixed. I'm wanting it done for. Let's go back to smoking pot. Give me one of them doobies. Give me a pill. Give me painkillers and I didn't even get prescribed to me. And let me eat a few of those things. I'm telling you, people are addicted to sin. And whether it's drugs, alcohol, lascivious living, whatever it is, fornication, adultery, people are living in it. And they're asking God all the while to remove this thorn. And then they go sit right back where they've been sitting. Do what they've been doing. My friends, that is not going to satisfy a thrice holy God. God's going to say, I'm going to leave the thorn. I'm going to leave it right there. Until you get right with God, the thorn will remain in your life. And Paul said that the thorn remained to keep him humble, but God gave him something to help him with it. What was that called? Grace. Do you realize God's got grace? You say, oh good, God's going to let me keep taking my pills. God's going to keep letting me shack up. God's going to keep letting me live in sin. He's just going to give me grace to live there. Grace doesn't work that way. The Bible says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is an emphatic, God forbid. No. Man, we get in trouble, don't we? Go to verses 9 and 10. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want you to see something. The onset of the thorn is here it is. Why is it here? Why am I dealing with this? And then right in the midst of all that, you have to start to figure this thing out, brother. What in the world's going on? What is the objective? What's the purpose of the thorn? And I want to show you the outcome of the thorn. The Bible said in the outcome of the thorn that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that thorn might be the very thing that takes you out of here. You said that ain't so. And you get with Brother Ricky Viles and Miss Carolyn up at the mountain where I used to pastor. And remember, brother, that day, I remember that dreadful day when Ricky's brother got killed by a drunk driver. I'm telling you, the wage of sin is death. You say, well, it didn't happen to him. No, God was gracious. It wasn't Ricky's brother that was driving drunk. He got hit by a drunk driver. But the wage of sin is death. It took somebody else out. God left him there that they might get saved. Drunk walked away unscathed, didn't he, brother? Didn't even hurt him. But Ricky's brother lost his life in that. I'm telling you, it's serious. The outcome might just be that somebody loses their life, that your marriage is ripped in half. I'm not suggesting y'all are having marital problems, But if you're unequally yoked together, you're saved and you're lost, or you're saved and you're lost, one way or the other, it's going to be a problem. You know what the outcome of that's going to be? You say, well, we'll work it out. Okay, work it out here. Work it out now. Factor in a couple kids. Then your kids grow up. They become rebellious. You can't handle them. It doesn't make any difference where you go to church. If you go to church, you're telling little junior now, it don't matter if you go to church. Just go anywhere. Go somewhere. Don't go anywhere. You're unequally yoked. You're disciplining your young, and you're letting him go wild. You're letting him go wild. You're trying to discipline him. You're unequally yoked because everything's out of kilter. You know what the outcome of your thorn is going to be? You're going to have a lost and dying son on the way, or daughter on the way to a devil's hell. And you know why? Because of your thorn. I'm telling you, this thing's real this morning. Y'all might not like it. I can't help it. But the outcome of the thorn will be this. Look at verse number 10. It will, Paul said in verse number 9 and 10, he said, it will bring glory unto God. He said, I most gladly rather glory in my infirmities. If you take care of the thorn, if you'll take care of the thorn, brother, if you'll acknowledge the thorn. Paul said, I've got a thorn. Did God remove it, Brother Gwen? I don't see where he ever removed it. Then what's the outcome of the thorn? It brought God glory. Why? Because grace stepped in. The outcome of the thorn is namely this: grace will fix what you've got torn up. He said, I'll glory in my infirmity. It'll bring glory unto God. He said, rather I'll take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution. And what did he say? He said, peace comes into my life. It'll bring pleasure. You said, I can't pleasure in any kind of a reproach. It'll pleasure in the fact that grace come on the scene and helped you. Miss Ann, do you remember, honey, that night that grace showed up? I'll never forget that as long as God leaves me here on this earth. I remember out of your mouth you said grace showed up. I'm not causing you to relive anything. I'm just telling you that grace was there. Honey, I'll never forget that. I was asked to step out for just a moment, Gerald. Y'all were back there and just wanted a little family time. And I understand that, and I completely did. And Cindy and myself stepped out there. It was me and Miss Jeanette, Brother Woody, Miss Cindy, some others out there. And you come around that corner, honey, and you said grace showed up. God didn't remove your thorn. He didn't change everything. The outcome was going to be the same. But honey, the outcome of the thorn was grace showed up. And God helped you with that. And I've never got over that. As long as I live, I'll remember how grace shows up in your trying time, in my trying time. How that grace in its proper measure will exalt Christ and not exalt Chris. It'll exalt Christ and not Larry. It'll exalt Christ and not Mark. It'll exalt the one that gave the grace. Brought Paul to a place here. Paul said, I've become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me, but I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the chiefest of apostles. How many times did Paul put himself down? I know a lot of times, and I'm not lifting myself up at all, but I think Paul sometimes felt kind of the way I do. We get ready to leave and felt like a mess. Preacher, you ever just leave the pulpit and you felt like, boy, that was a total mess? How many times have I done that, and you've done that, and you've done that? Man, I just made a big mess. Paul felt that way every time he turned around, Brother Derek, he'd say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the least of the least. I'm just a mess. Nothing to glory in. And that's the way I feel. Some of you go out here and say, preacher, you're too hard on yourself. I think I'm not hard enough on myself. Miss Macy, come just a moment, honey. Brother Scott, come just a moment. I'm done. I want to give Chris ample time to talk, but you say, well, you're cutting this thing short. I'm cutting off because God said I'm done. I want you to examine yourself. Hey, was one of my workers this week, Brother Tam. She come in there. Knocked on the door. I don't never shut the door, but she knocked on the door. And she said, have you got a straight pin or a safety pin or a bobby pin or some kind of a pin? I said, I don't. And she said, well, have you got a pair of tweezers or anything? I said, I really don't. I don't have any. I said, why? What are you needing? And she said, I've got a thorn in my finger, a splinter or something. And I said, I don't have anything. I said, I've got a box cutter. You know, I didn't have anything. So I hear asking all the other women, y'all got any straight pins? Y'all got any safety pins? I could hear her going back through there asking everybody, anybody got any tweezers? Everybody had everything from toenail clippers to wire pliers. Nobody had a box cutter. Nobody had anything. She said, I'll just get it when I get home. Brother Derek, is that thing going to remain till we get home? It may very well. I believe that God left it in Paul. I believe from there to the day he died, Tim, he had that thorn. I just believe that because he didn't take it right then. Paul prayed thrice that it be removed. God said, I'm not going to move it. I'll tell you what, I'll give you grace. Sufficient grace. She said, I'll just get it when I get home. I wonder in my mind this morning if you would acknowledge that you've got a thorn. I wonder if you would acknowledge that you might be the source of the thorn. What was the onset of the thorn in your life? When did that thing come in? When did it show up? Preacher, it showed up here. You know what you got to do to fix it. As we stand all over the house of God today, you know what you got to do to fix it. You got to allow the Lord to fix it. You say, well, what if God don't remove it? He'll give you grace. You say, what if that sin or what if that thorn is because of my sin? Grace will fix it. You say, well, how's grace going to fix it if I'm messed up in this sin or that sin? How's grace going to fix it? Grace will fix it because you can get saved by grace through faith. And then when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are made new. You're a new creature. Why? Because of grace. You said, I thought I was already saved. I went through that motion. You better think again. The devil can slip you a counterfeit and he'll tell you, you're saved. You're saved. If Satan comes up and tells you you're saved, Ryan, you're lost. Because he's a liar. There's no truth in him. If the devil tells you, don't go up there. You remember that little time you did this and did that? You're saved. You better listen to the deeper. You better listen to the more intelligible voice. And that being the voice of reason, the voice of the Lord, calling you to grace to be saved. What you got, Brother Scott?